You know, my daughter has 5 kids, but they only are like on borrowed to me. You know, they come like once a week. I mean, when they lived here, once a week, but now about once or twice a year, and I work out. So today is obviously Father's Day, and what's so funny, I'm kind of not going to talk about Father's Day. I do want to explain something about this gift. You got it, it says, blessed is the man who works tirelessly for the Lord. Not in the Bible. It's a good marketing product because inside you'll notice that there is a tire gauge. So when you don't know that your car's flat, I wanted to say that because I know a million people will probably think that this is in the Bible. The cool thing is about it, when I saw it, I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't think that there's anything in the Bible that says when you work tirelessly for the Lord that you're blessed. So what it did for me, it allowed me to do a little research. And just so you know, 16 times in the Bible, 14 times in the Old Testament, twice in the New Testament, is the phrase, blessed is the man. But also incorporated in that is, and y'all know how I do because I like to study all this stuff out, incorporated in that, there's 3 different words for man that are used in this blessed is the man thing. And there's also, what's so funny, out of the 16 times the word blessed is used, only 1 time does it mean the blessed as we understand blessed. In other words, when we say we're blessed, it's because God has given us favor, and you know, what the word literally means is adored, we're appreciated, congratulated, and again, that's only 1 time. The rest of the time it means something totally different, which we'll get to, but let's start with a scripture real quick, because I want to do a little preface before I get to my extreme point today. And here it is. This is in Jeremiah where it says blessed. This is the only time the word blessed means what we believe it is. And that word is Barak. And yes, it's just like our former president, Barack Obama. That's how it's spelled and that's how it's pronounced. It says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is in the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by the stream and will not fear that when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. And so I want you to just focus. That's the only time that word Barak is used. Now, I'm going to go real fast right now because I'm trying to get to my point. I only have 1 point today. I just got to get there. But I have to get through my notes. So you have to hang with me here. You're going to like this, I think. Look at the next scripture. I don't even know what it is, but I'm going to tell you what it is when it gets there. Here it is. So that word Barak, the first time it shows up in scripture is in Genesis chapter 1 where it says, God blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas. In other words, he's talking about the animals here. God blessed the animals. The next scripture, go to the next scripture, please. Next scripture says, and God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created him. Wait a minute.
And look at that body.
How? Oh, yeah, my bad. Keep going. I mean, yeah, there you go. God blessed them, and God said to them, talking about the male and the female now. First, God blessed the animals in that, again, abundant blessing, adoration, that type thing, that thing that we do when somebody comes up and he says, man, how you doing, brother? And he says, well, I'm blessed. Well, the truth is you're not, and I'll explain why, because that's not what the word means. But that's what this means. God blessed them, and he blessed them to multiply and to do those type things. And that's there. So let me just stay on point. I'm trying to get to my point because I don't know why I feel like I'm in a hurry, but I'm certainly not in a hurry to celebrate Father's Day after lunch because it'll be packed out anywhere we go to eat. Let me get on point here. There's my point there. There's my point there. Okay, now I know where I'm at. So the point I wanted to make there out of that whole thing is the word where it says, blessed is the man in Jeremiah, it literally means the blessings of God upon us. In that, how all that is incorporated. Now, the next scripture here is going to show you the same scripture, but then the word man there is geber. Geber literally means a warrior, but the word it also is used, it can be used for male or female, all right? So I say all that to say, let's go to the next scripture. I'm going to get to my point here. This is another place. Okay, now here's where the word blessed changed. From that one time from Barak, now it's asher is how you say that. Praise the Lord, how asher is the ish. Remember that? Remember last week when we did the wedding during service? And it's ish and ishah. meaning man and woman. Okay, just what, so that you understand something, this word ish literally means man, period. Never is it used for anything else. The other ones that we're going to see is Adam, which is Adam. It's also used for mankind, though. And there's a point that I'm trying to make that I'm going to make here today at the end of this thing, because I have a word for men today, and ladies, it is not for you, although obviously as you do life with Jesus and stuff, these things will happen, but it was specifically written only toward a man because of the word ish, because ish means male, and isha means female. That's what it is from the beginning. These other words, Adam, again, Adam is where it is, A-D-A-M, you get that. But in the word, it was incorporated to where sometimes it was always rare, but at sometimes it could incorporate male and female. It's the same way with this warrior word, that word Geber, which was last, anyway. So let me just keep going here. Praise the Lord, blah, blah, blah. Let's go to the next one. How blessed, there's that word Esher again. This is the most important, how blessed, how Esher is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man, this is where that incorporates a woman on occasion, Adam, blessed is the man who to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity and whose spirit there is no deceit. So this is all in the New Testament, this is all in the Old Testament, and I think that's the last one in the Old Testament. Yes. So then as you go into the New Testament, the word changes. Why? Now, do you understand that yet, right? Old Testament is written in Hebrew. New Testament is written in Greek. So when we go into the New Testament, it's written in Greek, but it's the same word that is used in Hebrew, except that they translated it into the Greek language. Do you understand that? So watch this. Here's the same scripture. We're going to go into the New Testament now, which is in Romans, and it says, just as David also speaks of the blessing, that we just read was out of the Old Testament, right? Just as David also speaks of the blessings on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works, blessed, makarios. Now, it's makarios. Means the same thing as Esher. I'm going to tell you what it means here in a second. I just don't want you to know yet because I'm building up. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. So he's quoting from Psalms... he's quoting from Psalms 32:12. It should have been on here, but it's okay, it's not. Okay, now everybody take a deep breath. Finally, I get to where I want to be. That only took about 5 minutes, so that wasn't bad. I slammed through it as fast as I could, because here's where I want to be today, where it says, blessed is the man. 15 times the word for blessed is Esher and Makarios, and it literally means happy and content. Now, when you understand that the word blessed means happy and content, that changes the entire situation, doesn't it? I can't tell you the times when I have talked with people and they just throw out, man, I'm blessed. No, you're not, because you're not happy and you're not content. What does content mean? Well, content means a lot of things. In the Greek, it's incredible, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But here's the first things that I thought of when I saw this, because it really does change everything. In fact, what I did is I pulled up a poll. Did you know in 2016 they took a Harris poll in the United States of America, and the Harris poll said 31% of Americans are happy. 31%. So that means 69% aren't happy, and some of the mothers might have been lying. I don't know what the point is, but the point is this. We say we're blessed, but if we're not happy and content, are we blessed? Does blessing bring happiness, or does happiness bring blessing? Do you get it? I don't want to be the guy that just runs through. For instance, I don't want to be the guy, I gave my toy away, I put it in my pocket. What'd you do with it? I put my back pocket. Man, thank you so much. Someday I'll talk about forgetfulness, but not today. And then see, I just forgot what I was going to say about this old guy. Oh, I don't want to be the guy that looks at this and goes, man, that's a cool scripture, because it's not. You know what would be a better way? Of course, it wouldn't work for the tire thing, which, by the way, they had other stuff where they give you a little tape measure and, you know, had the measure of a man. You know, we can market anything. And I'm not throwing these people under the bus because, obviously, we bought them because they're cool. And you can actually use them if your tire's going flat. Although, most of the time nowadays, you know your tire's going flat because it's got the little thing that says so in your car. Or you can see with your eyes that your tire's going flat. So, but anyway, these are cool little deals. But I don't want to be that guy that just goes, oh, yeah, man, that's what the Bible says. Well, no, it really doesn't. In fact, this would probably be better worded, blessed is the man, which would be happy is the man who rests in the Lord while he tirelessly does his thing for you. But that's too much to understand. You don't believe he loves you that much. So if you don't believe that, then you figure you really got to work tirelessly, and you're so happy and so blessed to do that. Now, having said all that, let's go to this word content, and let's dig into this deeper. Because here's what I want you to see, man. Here, I have a wonderful word, I believe, at the end that I vetted the scripture out of, just so you know. In that word, in blessed is the man, only twice out of those 16 times, only twice is the word ish used, which means for man. And I'm going to show you one of them, but not right now. What right now I want you to do is to see this scripture about blessed is the man. So here it is in Corinthians. Here's the Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and he says, and he has said to me, talking about Jesus saying to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. That does not compute in our brain, does it? How can power be found in our weakness? Because you know what, ladies and gentlemen, here we cover the areas normally where we're weak. It's those areas where we're strong that we don't need to deal with, right? There was a pastor in Colorado named Charles Blair. And that's exactly was his downfall. He was strong in areas of business, weak in these other areas. He covered his weaknesses, but it was his where his strengths were where he failed. Why? Because where we are strong, we don't think we need anything. That's why it's in our weaknesses that there's power, because power resides in understanding, I can't do it, Jesus can. If you don't recognize you need the Savior, you don't need a Savior. If you don't recognize and understand you're drowning, you don't need that lifesaver. Do you get it? That's the whole purpose of why Jesus came, was to help us. So his grace is sufficient for us. Now watch this. Most gladly, therefore, Paul is saying this. Most gladly, therefore, I will boast in my weaknesses. Wow. We'd be here all day if I had to share all that with my weaknesses. We will boast in our weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content. Remember what the blessed word means, happy and content. Look at I love this. This is a triple whammy. Do you understand? Now, those of you who've been here a while, you understand. When it's said twice, it's emphasized. When it's a triple, this is my first triple I've found. You know, I've seen a couple doubles, and I'm looking for a home run next. But this is a triple. Eudokio. Therefore, I am eudokio with my weaknesses. I'm content in my lousy life, is what Paul is saying. That's pretty blessed, because I think it's in the happiness that blessings come. Because I don't think we see our blessings when we're all grumpy. I think they might be there, but we don't see them. So, I'm well content, I love that, with weaknesses and with insults and with this. Man, if you don't want to be insulted, stay off of Facebook, I'm telling you right now. You don't want to, with weaknesses, and I'm totally over the top content with my insults and with distresses and with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. I want you to stop right there. He's saying because of Jesus, you get what I'm saying? I am well content when I'm insulted because of Christ, when I'm distressed because I love Jesus, when I'm persecuted because of Jesus, when I got difficulties because I am in Christ. For when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. That is completely opposite of anything we've ever been taught, either in the church or in life in general. It's the strong that survive. It's the, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to help you get happy. I want you to be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Sorry, I have a 3D mind in a 4D world. Sorry, stand by. Where am I at? I'm lost and confused as always. No, here it is. So do you see that? Now watch this. Here's what I love. Eudokeo. In this particular setting, it means content, which is what the word content means. But watch how this goes. Look at this next scripture. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, Eudokeo, Eudokeo, in whom," as it's interpreted, "in I am well pleased." That could just God, you could just as well interpret that. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am happy and content. In whom I am blessed." Do you get it? Here's what's cool. That's just a double whammy. Paul had a triple whammy. Paul wanted people to really get it and understand. Your circumstances have nothing to do with your happiness. Your circumstances have nothing to do with your contentment. By the way, your financial situation has nothing to do with your contentment. Do you hear me? I have a picture sitting on my desk of a dude from India. When we went, used to go to India at our churches in India, and we were in Erode. So we were in Tamil Nadu, and we were on our way to a village because I was supposed to teach at this village. So I'm getting my brain ready, and the pastor says to me, "Could we stop by and see one of the guys that go to our church?" Which, by the way, when I say our church, it's not a building. They gather at a place, and sometimes it has a covering, sometimes it doesn't. Most of the time it's open air. But anyway, so he's like, he just had his leg amputated. Okay, now you need to understand, this is a really extremely poor Indian dude. The rich in India have access to good stuff. When he just had to have his leg cut off, I had visions of a chainsaw. You get what I'm saying? They don't have the equipment. Those people don't have money to. So he just had his leg amputated, and the guy had asked him to stop for me to stop by so that he could pray with me. And I'm like, okay, he wants me to pray. I'm like, whatever. I was to be really brutally honest. Here's my flesh, the weakness of my flesh. I was aggravated. I want to stop. It's bad. Those roads are bad enough with having to stop. Not to mention, nobody has air conditioning anywhere there, and it's always very extremely humid. Anyway, so we stop, and here is this guy. Oh man, very dark Indian. The reason I say that is because he was a Dalit. You're not familiar with that. They're the worst of the worst. It's kind of like any caste system is. The darker, the worse. And so he was this dark man, Dalit. So. Which means his health care was absolutely over the top horrible. He's just had his leg amputated 8 days earlier. He's got a homemade one crutch and his stump and covered in wrapping. And I go to his home. It's not a house, but I go to where he lives, and. He looks at me, and this beautiful smile. And I'm like, wait, you can't be happy. You just got your leg sawed off. And I know they didn't probably use very good anesthetic. And he is so happy to see me. And so obviously content. I was devastated with my own arrogance. And I melted with him. When he took hands to pray, we don't speak the same language, so I had an interpreter, obviously. But man, I'm taking his prayer. He prayed for me, and I prayed with him. I was so humbled by him. And the thing that brought me to my knees was the fact that he was Eutychio. I didn't know that then. I didn't know why then. I just knew I humbled before a man that had a grip on life better than I did. Powerful stuff. So I let go of his hands. I'm crying. I hug him. He's saying stuff to me in Malayalam. I can't understand. I'm saying stuff to him in English he can't understand. But it's not the point. The point is there was this connection. And I'm so humiliated now. I go to get in the car to stare my way. And he yelled, hey! He does this. Because this here in Texas, you say, come here. In other, some countries, it's like this. So he did this to me, which made me come back. So I went back, and he stuck his hand out, and he handed me some money. Okay, now just so you know, in that particular area, 75 cents a day was the average wage at the time. 75 cents a day. He handed me what I assumed was one or two. They have a 1 rupee, a 2 rupee, a 5 rupee. Rupee is their currency. And it's all in paper, mostly. So he handed it to me. I assumed it was like maybe one or two rupee, simply because that would make sense. I still didn't want to take it. He handed it to me. I was so gracious. Again, I'm humiliated. Who's the one that needs to be given money to who? Right? I get back in the car, and we start driving off, which, by the way, 1 rupee equals 40 cents. Okay? One rupee is 40, or no, I lied. It's 40 rupees to one. So 40 rupees equals a buck. That's what it is. Anyway, I get this. I put it in my pocket. We get 10 minutes away. I pull it out, and it's a 50. 50 represents 2 days' wage. I told my driver, stop the car. He pulls over and stops the car. I said, turn around, and about the time I said turn around, man, God hit me like a brick. You keep going, buddy. And it dawned on me. I don't know if y'all remember the story in the Bible where David was sitting around with his guys, and they'd been in battle with the Philistines forever, and David just made a comment, man, I'm thirsty. That's all he said, man, I'm thirsty. Well, those guys got up, went and killed 200 Philistines so they'd get him a cup of water. I'm not playing. And then he comes, so they come back with this cup of water and say, here, man, you said you're thirsty. And David goes, you did all that to bring me a cup of water? And they said, yeah. And you know what David did? Poured the water out. He said, man, I can't take that. That's the whole story that came to me when I wanted to give that guy his money back. Just so you know, I didn't spend it. Well, so you know, right now you can come in my office. I'll show you a picture of the dude with his crutch and the 50 rupee that I kept separate because I couldn't. Are you kidding? Oh, well, we got a little blessing. Let's go out and eat. No way, man. There's some things you just don't do that with. I share that entire story to help you understand something. I met more people that are happy and content in India than I've ever met in the United States of America because they're happy and content where they are. We serviced an orphanage there, and we serviced some churches there and some ministries there, and we were their only resource of rice, and we would go over to buy their rice, and there would be a fresh bag of rice and an old bag of rice. So I go, man, here's a fresh bag. They're like, no. Get the old bag of rice. And I'm like, why? They said, because it's dried out, so there's more in it, so we can get more food out. And I said, one day he's like, man, we're going to run out of rice. And we can't reply, get it again till Monday. And he said, Friday's when we're supposed to feed these kids. I said, so what do you do? He says, we tell them we're going to go on a fast. Seriously. So they don't have a clue that they're out of food. He just says, oh, guys, just so you know, Friday's going to be our fast. No stress, beautiful white teeth because nothing's processed there. What's my point? My point is, I don't care where, we can be happy and content wherever we are. And, oh, I'm going through pain. Well, good for you. And what does that mean, really and truly, pain? Is pain because I have a relationship that broke up? Is pain because my daughter died? Is pain, you get what I'm saying? It's all relative, isn't it? Quit focusing on the pain, focus on Jesus, and I promise you, you will eutychio right away. you will start being happy and content right wherever you are. And then you'll be understand that that's where blessing is. Blessed is the man. Happy and content is the man who believes in something. So here's another place where it shows it, and then I'll go to my last scripture and I'll be done. My favorite, you know, for those of you who know that I signed your book, I probably put this scripture in it. My favorite scripture ever. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure, eutychio, eutychio. I didn't know that till this week. And again, this is my favorite scripture. I've never vetted it out. To give you the kingdom. God is happy and content to give us. You don't have to tirelessly work. You have to tirelessly believe what He did for you and how much He loves you, man. Amen. It's the truth. So don't fear. It's God's. God is happy and content to give you what's His. What? How many of us dads in the natural, we're kind of like that, but without the happy part. I want to be happy and content in whatever area I'm in. I don't want to quote it anymore, but here's what I want you to hear. Most of the time in Scripture, when it's talking about being blessed, well, go to the Beatitudes in your brain. You know what the Beatitudes are? Blessed are the poor in spirit, so theirs will be blessed are. Change it to happy. And in fact, some of the translations now have changed it to happy. Isn't there a difference in your brain between happy and blessed? Really and truly, if I said to you, Ed, do you feel like you're blessed? Ed would go, well, no, because I haven't paid this bill. You get what I'm saying? Are you blessed? And then, well, yeah, I got good health. You know, but see, but maybe that's what we should go to people. Instead of saying, hey, man, are you blessed? Just come and say, hey, are you happy? Doesn't that change the whole thing? People freak out if I said, are you happy? Well, am I? And then the word content, that's a given in itself. All right, let me see where I'm at and I'll be done. I really got all through all that because I did a 15-hour vetting of a scripture because let's just be honest here, by the way. We got one ugly tie. Where's our ugly tie people? Are they in here? Because we have, oh, there we got some, okay. By the way, at the conclusion of service, we have our annual ugly tie contest, and I think this will be 24 or 25. We hang them up on the Hall of Shame through here if you want to ever see them. They are the ugliest bunch of ties I've ever seen. Why did I say all that? Because I thought I saw an ugly tie. Ed, that's homemade. You can't have homemade ties, although that's a good thought. I would take as a one glass of water, and that tie's over. It would be gone. Oh, I know what I was going to say. This whole, to be real honest with you, Father's Day, it really bothers me. And this is not about me. What I mean is, like, it bothers me because my daughter's birthday's always around Father's Day. That my daughter that already went home to be with the Lord. That's not what I'm talking about. What bothers me is there really is no honor in it. And what I mean by that is Mother's Day is Mother's Day, all right? Mother's Day is cool. Everybody gathers on Mother's Day. With fathers, because it has become so dysfunctional in our country, you know what I'm saying? You don't. We talk about single moms, but there's not a whole lot of single dads. Do you get it? So this whole understanding of fathers and menhood, and we get all our ideas of how to be a man and want to be a man and man of God and all that kind of stuff. I don't want to be different, but I want to be on point with who Jesus says we are, with who Jesus says we as men are, not just fathers. Some of you are fathers, some of you aren't fathers, some of you going to be fathers at some point in time in your life. Some of you don't want to be a father, whatever. The point is, I want to be Barabbas. I'm going to say it again. I want to be Barabbas. Yes, I'm talking about Barabbas, The one when they said, should we kill Jesus or should we take that crooked Barabbas? And they said, give us Barabbas. And Barabbas was set free and Jesus went on to die, right? I want to be Barabbas. You know why, right? Do you know why? Let me explain to you why. Because Barabbas, Baraba is how you say it. And Baraba means son of the Father. I'm off point, so I'm going to get back on point. Because I was really going to run with that, and it's not the time. Here's what I want you to see today. The very first time in that blessed is the man shows up in the Bible is in the scripture I'm going to show you. It's David wrote it in Psalms 1, the first time, where man means ish, is shown. And here's the scripture, and again, this is my conclusion for all you people. You'll be happy. How blessed is the man, this is where it's at, how blessed, again is Esher here, the man, which is Ish. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Now here it is broken down, because I want to point out a couple of the words. How blessed, again, Esher, 13 out of 14 times in the Old Testament, that's where this word blessed is used, in this blessed is the man. Is the man Ish. There's only one other time that this is used. It's also in Psalms, but I want to use this one because this is the first time it showed up in the blessed is the man times. So how blessed is the man who doesn't walk. Okay, now we can go. That's all the words. There's more of it. And the last of it. That's why I said it was a 15-hour job this time, but it's okay. Here's what I want you to hear. This is it vetted out from the original language. For those of you who don't understand this, our language is too focused. Our language is too what I call lazy, and it hurts people's feelings. We don't have the meat on the bone of our words like the Hebrew language does, and especially the Greek language does. It's just, you know, our word means one thing, and it can mean a plethora of other things. And I always use the word love because we just do that with everything. I love tacos. I love you. I love the dog. I love rain. I love, you know, whatever. But in the original languages, like Hebrew language, Aramaic's another great one, Greek language, there is I keep saying the word plethora, that's a big word and I don't mean to do that, there's a bunch of meaning to one word, all right? And so you've got to grab that. So as I walk through this whole Hebrew thing, here's what's so cool. This is exactly how you should write it every time where it says blessed, where it uses the word esher, is how happy with an exclamation point. Really? Are you blessed? Man, I'm happy. I don't mean I'm this.
Yeah, I'm happy.
I'm happy! I'm happy. You're crazy. I don't care what you think. Bible says I'm a peculiar people. And you can call me. I need to vet that out, see if that really means it, but it probably does mean weird. Watch this, guys. And fellas, again, this is the word where Ish was used. Ladies, I'm not saying this can't be for you because the word is true and good. What I am saying is, for whatever reason, David, at the very beginning of the very first chapter of all the Psalms, decided to say, fellas, here's what I'm telling you. You got it? How happy, joyful, and content is the man. What's the difference between happiness and joy? Help me. Anybody? Happiness and joy. Happiness can come and go. Joy is something inside of us. Now, the cool thing is happiness will attach to joy if you'll let it. Happiness is winning the lottery. Losing happiness is losing the lottery. Or happiness is winning the lottery. Losing happiness is paying the taxes on it. Whatever. That's happiness has this roller coaster. Joy has no roller coaster. Joy can be buried deep in this where it's not making its way out. You hear what I'm saying? But you cannot take the joy of the Lord from me. I don't care what. Cut my leg off, I still got joy. Cut my other leg off, I still got joy. Cut my tongue out, I still got joy. You get it? I'm good. It's in there. It's deep. Happiness can, but you can attach your happiness to joy. And when you attach happiness to joy, that's when you become content. I mean, yes, I want to see more. Yes, I want to do more. Yes, I want to make more. I get all that. But still, in the processes of wanting and desiring and yearning and doing those things, there is this thing in me where I can just say, you know what, though? It is well with my soul. Because it is. It is. You know, and even in the darkest hours of my life, which was my daughter's death, there was still this thing inside of me. I really thought Joy had died when she died too, but he didn't. In fact, actually, Jonathan Orville Yippee came back one other time dressed in pink to make his point. The point is, joy doesn't die when you believe in Jesus. Amen. It's true. So how happy, joyful, and content. Fellas, this is, listen, I'm fixing to tell you how you can walk in happiness and be content. Watch. Grab it. How happy, joyful, and content is the guy who doesn't attend to or concur with, you know what the word concur means, agree with, who doesn't attend to or concur or agree with the advice, the plan, or the purpose of spiteful, corrupt, and dishonest haters of God. What's the old saying? Bad company corrupts morals or whatever. Stop hanging around that. It's really that easy. That pulls you down. Listen, I'm not being Mr. Heavy Hammer preacher today. I'm being common sense dude today. Common sense says you don't hang with something that brings you down. Are there not people in your life you see them coming and you don't want to see them because they're miserable Mary or terrible Tom and you want to, you know, don't hang with people like that. I understand you're going to be in life with them. I get that. But you don't hang with them and lick the wounds of each other and grieve. And stop. What does it say? You won't do it. And well, he already changed on me. See this. He concur with advice or the plan or the purpose of spiteful, corrupt, dishonest haters of God. Just look, why hang with them? Well, you don't understand. I need to reach them for Jesus. How's that going? Is your life will do that. Your life will do that. I'm around this kind of people all the time. Hear me. But I don't hang with them. You get it. I mean, well, maybe some I do, but we won't go with the people I hang with right now. But you understand what I'm saying. But I don't agree with or concur with. You get it? Their advice, their plan, their purpose, their spite. All right, now go. And the same guy is going to be happy and content that doesn't linger or continue on the highway of blatant, brazen, and cold-hearted sinners. What does that mean? Didn't Jesus die on the cross for everybody? Yes, he did. Thank you, Jesus. He did. We are all sinners. But listen, if you don't believe in Jesus, your heart will be cold. He is awesome. He's the one. But you don't hang with people who just like, whatever. Or people who will, you know, here's what's so funny, because this is what I'm accused of all the time. You know, because I'm Mr. Grace, sloppy, agape, greasy grace guy. You know, whatever. You know, well, yeah, I got my ticket to heaven. I can do whatever I want. You can do whatever you want. You're dadgum right. But that doesn't mean you understand anything, nor do you know Jesus. Because when you know Jesus, you hang with Jesus, you see what he did for you, and all these things, your sins are done completely yesterday, today, and tomorrow. All completely done, but it's all about your belief system, and until you believe that you need a Savior, you're full of yourself, and you won't get it. And look at this. So you get off the highway of these cold-hearted, blatant, brazen, I'll do what I want, I don't even believe in your God, but I'll act like I do because I do want to hang around with you because you're kind of fun to be around. You know why people like to be around with me? Honestly, do you know why people like to be around me? Because I'm happy and content. You know, they say misery loves company, but so do people who are in misery that don't just want to, man, Steve, I don't know how you do it. It's not about what I'm doing. It's about who's in me. I'm happy and content, not because of anything I can do, but because of everything he did. I am content. Am I always happy? No, I'm not always happy. But I do have joy in there. I do have joy. I had so much joy. When my daughter died, I had so much joy. I had people accusing me that I wasn't dealing with her death. Wow. Yeah, it's weird. Man, you're not even dealing with it. Why? Because, you know, I mean, I'm in my office. I'm bawling every night. I'm drinking water thinking I got to refill something to keep the tears going. I'm serious. I mean, I lived up here for 2 months at this very office. and you know, people don't see that side. All they see is me, you know, in public or whatever. It's not the point. The point is, I still, can anything that we do change anything? Can anything that we do change anything? Can anything that we do change anything? No. I got to go from point A and I got to get to point B, and I can go crying, griping, scratching, whipping, or I can go with happiness and joy and contentment, understanding that Jesus is in control, I'm not, and you know what? When I let Him be who He is, He does a heck of a lot better job than I do. And I'm grateful for it. And when you become grateful is when contentment comes in. When you get grateful and you'll be happy. You'll put on your happy pants. Happy pants. I'm gonna market that. Blessed is the man who wears happy pants. That's gonna be our gift next Father's Day. It's gonna be a pair of those. What are those pajama things that are those rompers? What are they called? Is that what I'm looking at your daughter like she knows what they're called. Are they rompers or what are they called? They got these male things now that. Onesie? What is it? Is it rompers? Yes. You know what? You country boys need to start wearing them. When you go hunting, oh man, you know what would happen? One of those boar or something, they'd look at you and start laughing. They'd die. They'd die laughing, and you wouldn't even have to shoot them. Well, boy, listen, I got to have a picture of that when you wear those, though, by the way. That's going straight into my book. I'm not going to apologize today for being happy or content. And you can be all gripey pants all you want. And like Jimmy Swaggart used to say, you can eat oats out. What did he say? He said, some people are so grumpy, you could eat oats out of a 6-inch drain pipe. My granddad, he was a kick in the pants. Anyway, I'm a happy man, and I'm not going to apologize for it. So watch this. Here's the other last thing, the last thing that you don't do. Now, here's the things you don't do to be happy and content. So what was the first one? Don't hang around stupid people. The second one is don't hang around with stupid people who don't think they need Jesus, right? And this one is, and don't stay or inhabit, which literally means live in, the house of arrogance and insulting sarcasm. Whoo, some of y'all going, I got the pack now. I have got the pack now. Do you realize that a lot of that sarcasm is coming out of your mouth? You just ain't recognizing it? Uh-huh. Okay, now let's get to the happy part. Once you get all that done, no, I'm kidding. There's no steps to this. Look at this. This is where it comes to be awesome. Sorry, I'm going to cry. But His pleasure, our pleasure after this, His pleasure, happiness, and enjoyment and contentment is in the instruction, direction, and written word of the one and only true God. Your joy comes in hearing Him. Whether you're hearing Him in the book, you know, I was so dumped in my life with read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible, read. It was such a drudgery, but there become a point in your life where it becomes a delight because you start recognizing and you start saying, man, do you really love me that much? I'm telling you, about 12 years ago now, where I had my epiphany of this whole, call it grace or whatever, I was gobsmacked. Gobsmacked, sorry, that's from England. Gobsmacked means stunned. Sorry, wow, that was weird. But that's the only word I could come up with because that's a cool word. But I was stunned that this is what when I started reading the Word with my eyes open and digging into the Word and finding out what it means and what this, and used to when Scripture would bother me, I'd just read something else, but this one Scripture would bother me, and like, man, that's so heavy-handed. And I would vet it out and read it, and it's like, holy smoke, this is what He means here. This is awesome. You know, like where He says, oh, sorry, I never knew you. When the guy comes up, you know, in the last days it says, and Jesus says to them when they said, but we cast demons out in your name and we did this in your name. And Jesus says, sorry, I never knew you. Go and serve the one you served before. And I'm thinking, but wait a minute, over here in this other scripture, it says, I know the very hairs of the number on your head. How can He say He doesn't know me, but He knows how many heads? You know, so it's not Steve, it's 12, because I'm down to about 12 hair. You get what I'm saying? So it made no sense to me. I used to run from stuff like that and just go read something else so I could do a good message. Well, I stopped running from that, and I started digging it out. And the truth is where Jesus says, sorry, I never knew you, that word know is the literal word for like where the book says, where Joseph knew not Mary till she had the baby, because remember, she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, which means what? They didn't have sexual relationship until they were married. So Jesus isn't saying, I don't know you. He's saying, man, we never had a relationship. So, you know, so what I'm saying is, as you get this word, man, and it becomes a part of you, that's where your happiness and enjoyment and your contentment will come, because as you read the word and understand the word and understand how the depth of the love that God has for you and that Jesus has for you, man, there is relief in that. And you start understanding it and gaining it and believing it and holding on to it. All of a sudden, you become content because you're content in what he did for you, not in what you can do. Okay. At least I believe it. That's what I'm saying. Next, watch. This gets gooder. Gooder. From the early morning sunrise till the darkness of the night, this happy, joyful, and contented man examines, reflects, and ponders the instruction, direction, and written word of the one true God. By the way, where it says that, right when I say that, I didn't know how to do the punctuation. It reflects, ponders the instruction, direction, and the written word of God. In other words, not just reading the Bible, but hearing instruction. I'll tweak that so it's more understandable. Because what it means is, from the early morning, that this happy, joyful man examines, reflects, ponders the instruction, direction, instructions from God, which can be through the word, direction from God, which can be through the word, which a lot of times is through the word. Dude, if you want to know about somebody, read their book. If you really want to get to know somebody, all the time people ask me about the church. How you been church? And I'll tell them, man, if you read my book, you'll know more about me than I do. You'll know more about the church. And why? Because it's in there. So if you really want to know this Jesus, you don't have to go find him. He's in there. He's there from Genesis to Revelation. He's there all in this whole preparatory thing. But we get stuck in the, you know, where we're reading that. Quit trying to speed read and start listening. Okay, let's go to the next part. He, talking about the man who's content and happy, will be like a tree that is secure and immovable, rooted and planted by rivers of life-giving water. You will never be happy and content if you are planted by bitterness in bitter water. It just won't. And stop it. I can see in your mind, yeah, you know what? I just need to divorce that old hag. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I don't care where you're at. The Apostle Paul was the king of this understanding, and that dude understood freedom more than anybody did, and he was imprisoned all of his life. All of his life, and yet he got it. I don't care where you're at. There is a place where you can get this. There is a place of life-giving water, and it's there. It's not here and around me. There is no life-giving water around me, but Jesus is. What did he say? He said, the joy will spring up out of you like water. He said what? He said, I'm the bread of life. He said what to that lady that came to the thing when he said, are you married? And she says, no. And he says, you're right, you're not married. You've been married 5 times, and the dude you're living with, you ain't even married to. Would that not freak you out, ladies, if some prophet said that to you? And that's what she said to him. I perceive you're a prophet. And he said, man, she said, well, let me draw some water for you. He said, man, I got water that you drink from. You'll never thirst again. And she says, well, man, give me some of that water. And he said, I am the life. I am the one. So what does she do? She runs and tells everybody, there's this dude. And what's so funny, before she even got to the water part, she said, there's this dude that knew everything about me. Everything about her. Now watch this. She didn't finish it, but this is the truth. He knew everything about her, but he didn't judge her, did he? He didn't. He didn't judge her at all. He will be like a tree that's secure and immovable, rooted by the life-giving water. He will be like this tree and extend his branches and will abundantly and continually produce fruit in due season, and his foliage, you know what foliage is, that's the whole, you know, and the scripture says, and his leaf will not wither, right? The word leaf literally means the foliage, the whole package. And his foliage will not shrivel, fade away, or fall. And everything that he gets involved in will be effective and productive and he will be prosperous. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, that means wealthy. It means having stuff. Yes, it does. I'm not denying it. I'm not going to build a whole ministry on it. I'm not going to tell you, give you instructions on 1, 2, 3s how to do it. But what I am saying is that's exactly what that means. This is what I love. He'll be effective and productive in everything he's involved in. And he will be prosperous and will multiply and will flourish. So what was the key? Let's go from the top, because I just kind of broke it down. From the top of that scripture, if you could. Yes. Now let's just go together with it. How happy, joyful, and content is the man who does not attend to or concur with the advice, plan, or purposes of spiteful, corrupt, and dishonest haters of God, and does not linger or continue on the highway of blatant, brazen, and cold-hearted sinners, and does not stay and inhabit the house of arrogant and insulting sarcasm. But his pleasure, happiness, enjoyment, and contentment is in the instruction, the direction, and the written word of the one and only true God. From the early morning sunrise until the darkness of night, this happy, joyful, and contented man examines, reflects, and ponders the instruction, direction, and written word of the one true God. And he will be like a tree, secure and immovable, rooted and planted by rivers of life-giving water. He will be like this tree and extend his branches and will abundantly and continually produce fruit in due season. And his foliage will not shrivel, fade away, or fall. And everything he gets involved in will be effective and productive. And he will be prosperous and will multiply and flourish. Wow. Like Dick Mills used to say, I'll take that. Do y'all remember Dick Mills? Stand with me, guys. Father, I just pray right now for men in here, particularly Father's Day men, whether they're fathers or not, just this whole scenario. When David wrote this, Lord, I know it was intended for us to get and understand. So Jesus, I just pray that you will come so strongly in the hearts of us, come beyond that stupid shame and guilt that tries to overwhelm us, that tries to tell us we don't measure up to some kind of standard that we've created. And God, I just pray that you'll allow that love of Jesus to incorporate us and saturate. Lord, I pray for every single man and woman in this place today, that they will get to the place where they are grateful, which will make them happy and content in all avenues. And Father, I pray this prosperity over men in this church right now in your name. And I don't mean prosperity just so that they can pay their bills. I'm talking about prosperity in all avenues of life, in their health, in their emotions, in all those avenues, God. Father, I know there's a lot of causes in this world today, but I just pray today for the men of this place, that you will cause them to sense and know and understand that everything really is all right, and that you really do love them with this crazy love. And I thank you for that. Listen, fellas, if there's any guys that are here today, I want you to just come down here, and I just want to pray with you. And I just want to pray with you. If you're a guy, now how's that going to really mess everybody up? If you're a guy and you want prayer, and you really do want prayer, I don't want you to come down here just to come down here. Seriously. But if you want me to pray, I want you to stand down here. This whole thing, this whole Christian thing is honestly about belief. And there's something about us men, it's just hard for us to believe that God can love us like that without us having to do something. Because there's something in our human nature, and maybe it's our sin nature, but I know it's in our human nature that we have to provide, not only for our family, we just have to provide for us. So therefore, because I am the provision guy, I understand, Steve, that God loves me and stuff, but I've got to do my part. The only part you got to do is believe. And obviously take heed to what he says as he talks in his word. And don't hang with dumb people. That's silly. Listen, I just want you to know, I don't have any good friends that love the opera because I'm not an opera guy. I'm not downing opera. I'm just saying that's the way it is. I don't hang with people that I don't have anything in common with. And I feel in a sense like sometimes so that we, and there's another thing about us guys, we want to be accepted. We want to be accepted. And that's why sometimes we work so hard and we want to be loved. You know, what's the funny thing is with women, it's so, I don't know how to explain it. Here's women. Women can meet on the street, man. Oh, how you doing? They hit each other. And the second they see each other, their octave level raises. Oh, how you doing? Like, where'd that come from? And then, if they don't know each other at all, within 1 minute, yeah, I know, man, I went through a real bad divorce. And it's like, really? You know, we guys, if we hang with each other for more than a month and a half, we still haven't got a past, how about them Cowboys? They're awesome, man. You know, because we don't want to be vulnerable because somehow we've been taught or it's in our system. I don't know if it's a guy gene or what. David is such a great example of that. He was the biggest screw up ever. Yet he's the only one that God said was after his own heart. He's the only one that God called the beloved other than Jesus. This is my beloved son in whom I am happy and content. That scripture we touched today, that's beloved. That's what David means, beloved. So what did he have that we don't have? He had a heart turned towards God. Oh, he was a man's man. Dude, the dude could fight. He had some warriors that were crazy fighters. But David could fight. I mean, come on, he killed Goliath. But he could also weep with his buddy John and his best friend. He could also weep over the death of his son. He had all his emotions intact. He wasn't concerned about the opinion of man. He just wanted to do life like God would, and he was a man's man. So, Father, today I pray for these guys, and I don't pray that you make them men of God. I pray that you make them son of the Father. And I mean that. Because attached to that whole genre that we've created about this men of God is this falseness of something that we have to somehow attain to get to there. Lord, I just pray you teach us to sit at your feet, to learn from you. Jesus, you said it, and you were talking to the church leaders at the time. Come to me, everybody who's heavy laden and burdened down with life. And you said you'd give us rest. And you told us to take your yoke and to release our yoke to you. Because your yoke is easy and your burden's light. What does that mean? That means you've taken care of it on the cross. So I can rest in the knowing that you've got me covered. And I don't have to cover myself no more. And God, I pray for these men who have made mistakes and they have haunted them for years. Just dumb things that we've done. But God, that's not who we are in you. So I just pray, Jesus, that you wrap your arms around these guys today and you assure them once and for all that it is done and it was done. And God, I just pray as they can walk out of here today, I mean, honestly, nothing fake, but that contentment and happiness can reign in their life as they continue to receive your love, your mercy, your grace, your understanding, your instruction, your direction, your everything. Help us to quit focusing on ourselves and to focus on you. Help us to see that we do need a Savior, and His name is Jesus, and He's taking care of it all. And I thank you for that in your name. Amen. Amen. And God bless Christian Center Fort Worth. Who? and all ugly time in. Up here, please. We give